source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show. Of course, we're going to be talking about Bigfoot and cryptids and all kinds of fun things tonight with our super special guest. And so, of course, we like to show up as the She Squatchers. Unfortunately, my teammate Jenna was unable to join me tonight, so it's just going to be one of us She Squatchers here hosting the show tonight. So everybody send out a little extra love to Jenna Grover tonight. She's not feeling too hot, so let's send that out to her. But tonight, we don't need a co-host tonight, because we've got a really great guest. We've got Nash Hoover from Chasing Legends. And I'm really excited to have Nash on the show tonight. I met him quite a few years ago at Paracon in Minnesota, and I just ran into him again. He was one of the speakers at the Kansas City Paracon, where I was recently at. So I'm going to just welcome him to the show. Welcome, Nash Hoover.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. I was really excited to see you again and to catch up with what's been going on with you, with your show. You know, tell us a little bit about Chasing Legends.
So Chasing Legends was created a little over 5 years ago. It was myself and my co-creator, Caitlin Keeley. Actually created the show as a joke, almost, is how it came up. And then it kind of became this idea of, like, well, should this be something we actually attempt? Like, this actually sounds cool. And we, within a couple weeks, we came up with a name, we had the show idea figured out, and we were plotting episodes. And here we are 5 years later.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, you know, when She Squatchers first started, we were looking into not just Bigfoot, but other area cryptids in the state of Minnesota. And one of the things that we had consulted with you on was Pepe, the lake monster of Lake Pepin.
Pepe.
Oh, Pepe. And Pepe is kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, but it's Minnesota's version, right?
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on Pepe now? You've done an episode on Pepe.
Yes, we shot one episode on Pepe, and I personally have been out to the lake many times and, you know, walked the shoreline with binoculars and, you know, scrutinized every inch of the lake, and I don't know. It's one of those things. It's interesting. It's an interesting legend. I mean, the sightings go back to the 1870s, and there's Native American stories about it, and yeah, it's an interesting legend. I'm on the fence about it. Geographically, the lake is about identical in size to Loch Ness, but I think it only maxes out at about, I think we were able to find like maybe 80 feet deep in certain parts. So it's not, very, whereas Loch Ness can max out about 700 feet. So there's ample room in Loch Ness to hide, potentially hide something. Whereas in Pepin, it's a little different. So, I don't know. We've personally had a sighting that it was featured on the episode that we still can't really explain, but I don't know. Some people have had some interesting stories.
I watched that today just to refresh my memory on some of your work. So I was watching that today. And that was an interesting wave off there in the distance.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was obviously big enough that one of our crew members was able to spot it with her naked eye. And it was kind of funny, too, because, like, I was looking in the binoculars and thought I was seeing something, and she was reacting to seeing the same thing with her naked eye. So that's kind of how we knew that, you know, we were seeing something possible. And, yeah, we watched it for, I think, maybe 30 seconds, and then it was gone. And
interesting. Well, hopefully somebody will find something out, because is that man still offering a $50,000 reward for somebody who could provide evidence of
indisputable proof? Yeah, I don't know. It's I think the last time we were there and talked to Larry, it sounded like he still had it up for grabs, but who really knows?
Yeah. Well, hey, anybody out there
someone will cash in, just, you know.
Yeah.
Send a finder's fee.
Yep. $50,000 if you can prove it. So, hey, somebody with some extra time on their hands might be willing to invest that. It's a little too far away for me to spend a lot of time up there.
Yeah, it's about an hour for me.
Oh, okay. It was, I think, a good 5.5-hour drive for me one way.
Yeah,
so
probably, yeah.
That's a little far to be going there on a regular basis. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so, and then you were looking into some ghost activity. Can you tell us about that episode?
Yeah, so our very first episode that we ever put on YouTube was never meant to be an episode. And I talked about this. I mean, it seemed to really be a hot topic at my speech at Kansas City Paracon. But yeah, we had this kind of local area that, you know, it was kind of off the beaten path. We knew, you know, I had been told tons of stories from people that had been there that there's hauntings there. So we decided, you know, this was probably within a month or so after we had kind of created Chasing Legends. So we're like, you know, let's go out there. Let's, you know, film, you know, let's take our concept, put it on camera and see if it'll work. So it was, we call it a test episode. So it was never meant to see the light of day. We were just going to edit it together and just as a kind of like to see it, you know, physically. And we went to this location, and as soon as we get there, it was just a snowball effect of things happening. And my cousin Michaela, who was on the team, had some really crazy experiences, and she was hearing things and reacting to things that nobody else was hearing and reacting to. And she, for a good majority, pretty much like 20 minutes in and onward, she was crying and had no recollection of crying. And she didn't understand why she was crying when we brought it up afterwards. But that was the first time I've ever, like, I came face to face with what I believe to be, you know, a shadow entity. And we were, you know, making our way through the tunnel, you know, because it's called Hell's Tunnel is what it's like. We'd never really been able to get like a for sure kind of idea on what was meant for. There's always just stories, and basically it's probably about a 150-foot tunnel. Goes to this hill, and it's now a part of like a public park. So it's a, you know, it's a pathway. So we're making our way through this tunnel, and we're pretty much in single file for some reason. I don't know. That's just kind of how we were end up walking. I was in the middle or second to last. My camera guy was in front, and my friend Patrick was in front of me. And my cousin Mikhail was behind me. I'm 5'10". She's a little under 5 feet, maybe 4.5 at the time. So, you know, there was a dramatic height difference. Well, I had heard a rock skip off the wall behind me. You know, so naturally I just kind of turned to see what it was. Well, I had turned and looked at her, and she had clear tears in her eyes running down her face. She looked at me all confused. I could see where her shadow was on the ground, and behind her, you know, towering behind her, because I had to look up at this thing, was a shadow figure. it was darker than, the darkness in the tunnel, and as soon as I had locked eyes with it, it disappeared. And yeah, and that you kind of get that encounter is the end of that encounter is on the makes it in the episode, and then somehow our camera battery died like as soon as right after we had seen it.
Wow, okay, that's neat.
So that was our first adventure.
That's really fun, though. I mean, that's fun just to be able to document that. I'm looking for your... there it is. I was looking for the link to your YouTube channel so I could post it in the chat room. And for those listening on any other device, such as TuneIn Radio or any other way, we do have a live chat room at the ParaXRadioNetwork.com. And you just click at the bottom of the page, you click to join the live chat. So if you want to join in the live chat, that's where you can find it. And we are live right now, so you can come on in. Kat in the chat room is asking, did you get the shadow on the video?
No, unfortunately. Having my friend do the camera work, and it was one of those situations where he turned, but he didn't turn the camera with him. So unfortunately, we did not.
Oh, that's sad. Oh,
yeah,
that's tough.
We both are still kind of upset about it. I'm not upset at him for not turning because I understand, I understand the reaction. I just, I'm upset that we were not able to capture it. And
absolutely. I totally understand that. But hey, you know what? It happens with us too when we're out in the field. Yeah. We hope we catch it, but we're not always pointing the camera that way. So,
our first time. So.
Yeah. And hey, it's live and learn, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. Let's see here. So you have another episode that's going to be coming out very soon. What's that one going to be about?
I was hoping that this was going to be out before this, but unfortunately my computer had other plans. So it'll be out this month. I'm going to say that. I'm not going to give us a week specific, but it'll be out this month. We don't have much left on it. So we hadn't really shot anything for a few years. We kind of took a hiatus and we're kind of working on some stuff. And I took to some other projects, and so when we made the decision to return, and the episode that we started with or we came back with was something that we've been trying to do or we've always talked about doing since, way back when we were, shooting pretty actively. And it's the Devil's Punch Bowl in Menominee, Wisconsin. Now, this location, the size of it. It's huge. It's way bigger than we were expecting. It's a huge limestone bowl in the middle of this field, pretty much surrounded in trees. It's nuts. And in this bowl, there are reports of people, the reports seeing lights, and they, there's trolls and gnomes that apparently live in the bowl. And if you don't leave them an offering of Skittles, your car won't start or you'll face misfortune. And it's crazy. It's in Menominee, which happens to be the town that UW Stout is in. So you can take some of these reports with a grain of salt, because our expert that we interviewed in the episode is a paranormal investigator in the area. Chris Wiener is his name. And, he made the connection of it being a college town and the possibility of, college kids going down there and using municipal substances and drinking, and that could kind of attribute to, with the environmental and natural aspects of the place that we kind of found out, that you could kind of, take that as paranormal. And because, with the reports of lights, we were down there, and there's fireflies everywhere. Like, you know, like I've never seen this many fireflies in one concentrated area in my life. And I live in the country. So, you know, fireflies out here are pretty active. So we kind of thought that maybe those could be, you know, what they're reporting as lights. It's just all these fireflies everywhere. And there's water that flows through this bowl, and so the cool water that flows through this bowl, it's, you know, the temperature down there is in this bowl is way different than the temperature that's on the surface. And it was probably a 95 degree day with, you know, humidity the day we were out there. And as soon as we got down there, it was like, it probably dropped 15 degrees. There's no humidity. It was like perfect down there. But it was just a thick mist through this whole place. We could barely see anything. Our headlamps, you know, our headlamps barely pierced it. So it was fun navigating this, you know, new terrain at night. But with that mist, you know, there was a lot of dew collecting on the trees and stuff that would drip down. So we were, you know, our theory was, is that what, you know, that could attribute to, you know, people reporting maybe footsteps or thinking that there is, you know, these creatures and the gnomes kind of running around them and, you know, running up on them as, you know, all these water droplets that fall and land on the leaves, and it's very loud. So we debunked a lot of things. I don't want to give away too much because I want you to watch the episode, but...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate you sharing with it a little preview of it anyway, so everybody will have to watch for that sometime probably later this month. Yeah?
Yes, it's if any of you go and watch the stuff we have on YouTube right now, it's what we're about to put out is like night and day difference. It's the production value on our new episodes is amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I missed a couple of questions about the previous episode, Hell's Tunnel. Larry was asking, what is the story behind the haunting, and did it physically touch her?
So the stories that we've been able to dig up was that this tunnel was originally built as a bomb shelter in the 40s. And then, by the way, it's a tunnel, but then there are probably like 4x6 like rooms, you know, separate rooms in this tunnel. At the time of our first episode, we were only able to get into two of them because they have them all blocked off. Now, when we've gone there, they're all completely sealed. But from what we were to find out from people that kind of lived in the town and kind of knew some stuff about it, above, on top of the hill from this place, there's a prison. It's a minimum security prison that used to be a mental facility. So what we've been able to find out in just kind of our own theories is that we think that this tunnel was connected to this mental facility, and that's kind of what they used it for. You know, either it was a boiler room, or they used it to kind of almost as like a solitary confinement, almost for the more kind of crazy ones that they didn't want to deal with.
Ooh, that's scary.
And other people that I've talked to that have gone to, you know, this tunnel almost report the same thing. It's a, you know, tall shadow. There's, you know, rocks being thrown. So it almost seems like it could be territorial. Or, I mean, I guess it's like in my Kansas City Paranormal Conference speech, I brought up the fact that, I mean, obviously we were, you know, whatever it was, we were in its house and it didn't like it. That's kind of what we were able to dig up in terms of stories on what it could possibly be, is it's either a, you know, mental patient or it's, I don't know. We haven't been able to find any other reason why this should be, have any activity.
Interesting. So that might be an episode you all want to check out on their YouTube channel. And you can find that by, you're listed as The Chasing Legends on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm seeing, you know, I told you Larry is originally from Northfield, and so he's in the chat room telling me that Carleton College and St. Olaf of Northfield had the same tunnel thing built for atomic bomb attack way back in the 50s.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
You might want to check that. I wonder if they're open. Do you know if they're open, Larry? And Kat is asking, do the tunnels slope downward? Coal loading shaft, perhaps?
Nope, it's level. It's a complete level shaft or tunnel.
Okay. Interesting. So, where is this health tunnel and what city is it in?
It's in Faribault, Minnesota, so it's about 15 minutes south of Northfield, where Dundas, where I live. So it's about 45 minutes south of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Nice. I didn't realize Faribault was so close to Northfield.
Yeah, it's the next major town south of us.
Nice. Didn't realize it was so close. It's so far from where I'm living right now.
Yeah.
It just seems like a long drive. So, well, that's really cool. So maybe you'll have to check out the Carleton College and St. Olaf of Northfield and check out their tunnel and let us know what that's about.
Yeah, I want to look into those.
Yeah, for sure. Now I want to know. Inquiring minds over here. And I hear that you have a really fantastic trip coming up to do some filming on a new episode.
Yes.
What do you have to share with us about that?
So like I said, so we kind of were on a few year hiatus and, hadn't filmed anything for a while. So when we all got together and we decided, if we're going to come back, we need to come back strong and we needed to come back right. So we planned the Devil's Punchbowl episode, which we shot in June, and then in July we shot a Return to Hell's Tunnel episode. So we went back and we invested again to kind of celebrate the 5-year anniversary of our first episode. And then after we'd kind of gotten those locked down, we're like, okay, what can we do? We need to do something big. We can continue doing these, kind of smaller things around the Midwest, but it's like, if we really want to show what we can do and show what we're about, we need to go big. So we kind of brainstormed a little bit. We kind of threw around doing some stuff, traveling kind of still within the U.S. and hitting up some of the more well-known cryptid legends in the U.S. But we're like, that's great and all, but we feel like no one at our level has taken the jump to do something international, so early in their, career, especially from coming back from being stagnant for so long to, doing stuff again. So my co-creator, Caitlin Keeley, happens to live in Ireland. So we kind of dug into our old field notes from what we wanted to do with the show, a few years ago. And we started planning this huge Irish episode to look for a Celtic legend known as the Pooka. And we attempted a crowdfunding and we made maybe like $70. And so we were like, okay, this isn't obviously the way to go. Nobody knows, nobody's really for sure on us yet. So we have to kind of do this ourselves. So we sold a bunch of stuff borrowed money from family and friends and made it work. And we, at pretty much the week of Halloween, we will be in Ireland filming 4 or 5 days all around the country looking for the Pooka. So that's going to be super exciting.
That is exciting. So can you tell us what a Pooka is?
So it is, in the Celtic folklore, it is a goblin. It's almost like a shapeshifter. It's can be viewed as good and bad. And November 1st, which is, it's in the Celtic folklore, it's known as Pooka Day. So it's when the creature is supposed to be kind of at its best behavior. And it coincides with the end of harvest, where I guess a lot of farms in the area and in the country, if they believe this Pooka exists, they leave some of their crops in the field as an offering to this Pooka, so that way they don't get any misfortune or it doesn't mess with them, basically. So it's It goes back, like, you know, we've been able to find stories from, you know, hundreds of years ago about, you know, these reported Puka sightings, and it seems to take the shape of a rabbit. It's known to be a dog, and I guess it can also take the shape of, you know, take the form of a human. So it's a pretty crazy myth. So it's gonna be a lot of fun to test some theories, and it's really gonna, you know, put us outside of our box and comfort zone, because, you know, we've never attempted something this big and this grand of scale. So it's gonna be a real true test of, you know, our abilities as researchers and a film crew to pull this off. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's going to be nice working with more than a day or so to film an episode, because usually we're used to, I think with our Devil's Punch Bowl episode that's coming out, we filmed in 10 hours the whole episode from start to investigation. So it's going to be nice to have 5 days to play with to really nail it. So
that's going to be how many days?
Five.
Wow, that's going to be awesome over there. Travis in the chat room wants to know if you'll be going to Leap Castle while you're there.
Probably. Not to look for anything specifically, but we will probably film B-roll at a lot of the more popular haunted Irish castles and, you know, Irish tour stops, and just, you know, we're really going to take in the scenery and really try to capture Ireland for what it is, and, you know, really show off how, you know, how beautiful the country is. And
what can a team find and dig up in 5 days time in Ireland? You know, some people, you know, might not think that that's enough, their trip over there wouldn't be enough time to gather any evidence, but I think with putting a time restriction on that and showing what you guys can do in that amount of time would be good for other tourists, perhaps, to see.
Yeah,
it's worth a trip to look into that stuff.
Yeah, because the first day we are going to be speaking with Johnny Daly, or one of his co-workers. We haven't figured it out yet. We have an interview locked with Johnny Daly, possibly, who is a pretty popular folklorist in Ireland. So he's going to, you know, fill us in on everything we need to know and kind of point us in the right direction on how to, you know, go about the rest of the investigation episode. And we will be doing, conducting two full night investigations on two ends of the country, pretty much, which is in the County Carlow and in the Wicklow Mountains. So, you know, those are two key locations to that, from what we've been able to dig up on about the legend and possible sightings. So
awesome.
It's going to be a fun time.
Well, let's hold that thought as we have to go to our mandatory commercial break. And stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with Nash Hoover from Chasing Legends.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
Is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show. When we are not live on the air, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com. And hey, we're usually talking about Bigfoot and cryptids like we are tonight. So check out our other website at shesquatchers.com. And hey, we've got Nash Hoover from the Chasing Legends crew on the show tonight. He's talking about some past episodes that he's put out on YouTube and some new episodes that are about to be published, and Phil, and then yet another one filmed in Ireland. So pretty exciting things coming up for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, yes. So, of course, is there anything else you want to tell us about the Ireland trip?
It's going to be a lot of work. it probably won't be made public for... I have no idea. Our attempt with the Ireland episode is to shop it to networks and hopefully get the show picked up, and so that way we can do this full-time and travel the world and do our research globally and really kind of, you know, investigate some of these crazy cryptid legends from all over the globe. So that's our goal with Ireland. We have some backup plans if it doesn't work out, so...
So heads up out there, everybody. Heads up. If you know anybody looking for new shows to pitch, he's going to be having one to pitch at you after this Ireland trip for sure. So heads up to all you out there that do that, the pitchers. So I have a little experience with the pitchers. So they go out and they pitch to the networks. It's kind of funny. And you get this play-by-play of what's going on. It's interesting stuff, very much so. So of course, you know, I'm always wanting to talk about Bigfoot, and we did talk about that off the air before. And, if you don't mind, let's talk about Bigfoot a little bit. Have you thought about going looking for Bigfoot? Have you ever gone looking for Bigfoot?
we looked for Bigfoot by accident once.
By accident? How'd that happen?
Yeah. We were out in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, filming an episode that never ended up, and I never ended up uploading it, but it was Josh Hurd and myself. We didn't have any cameras rolling. We had just arrived, at the base of this forest to kind of go in and start looking for these, what's the Beast of Bray Road in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. So we were looking for werewolves, basically. And we're standing outside the car. Everyone's gearing up, ready to go. And we heard three hollow tree knocks out of the woods. And me and Josh were the only ones that heard it. And we kind of, as soon as they were done, we slowly turned and looked at each other and went, "Dude, did you hear that?" And yeah, so our Bigfoot investigation kind of turned into a mix of both. So we attempted some Bigfooting as well as werewolf. And so yeah, that was the time I accidentally looked for Bigfoot. We do have quite a few on the list, on our show list for Bigfoot legends all around the world, from skunk ape to Mogollon monster to Yeti, obviously the Yeren in China, the Yowie in Australia, the Batutu in Vietnam, Laos area, the Almas in the Russian-Mongolia area. Pretty much, all the big ones that, all the different variations all over the world, we have plans to look for in some capacity in the future.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you believe in Bigfoot then?
I do. Believe it or not, the Bigfoot was actually the first cryptid I got into when I was a kid, and that's kind of what sparked this lifelong obsession with the, you know, with cryptids and cryptozoology. And yeah, it was Bigfoot and Nessie were my first two. They were my first loves. And
oh, tell us a little bit about that. So you got interested in Bigfoot when you were how old?
Probably 7 or 8, maybe even 6 or 7. I don't know. I was in elementary school. I know that. So, I mean, 15, 16 years ago. And
how did you learn about Bigfoot?
I don't even remember. I don't remember what was that, like, initial spark that kind of got me into it. But I remember, like, the librarian at our elementary school knew that I was into this stuff because I kept coming in looking for books. She would purposely order books about these subjects and set them aside for me. So I was the, you know, first and usually only person that got a hold of these books to, you know, check out. And, you know, so that was, you know, that was a big help to me. And, you know, and then obviously with shows like Monster Quest that came out around the same time, that's kind of when everything kind of opened up and I was able to learn about all these different ones from all over the world. And then I started, you know, when I was in high school, I got into filmmaking and stuff and I wanted to be a filmmaker. And so I, you know, was doing that for a while and doing a lot of film work. Well, then I realized that, hey, I could combine these two interests and, you know, do them both and create a show. And that's kind of what, you know, started the initial kind of thought process of Chasing Legends.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And that, what a cool librarian that she would order books for you because she knew you were interested in that.
Yeah, it was weird stuff. It was
signature small town librarian, I tell you what. Yeah. I know I'm from a small town too, and they do. The librarians will take a special interest in you if they know that you're looking for something specific. That's really awesome. I see Travis in the chat room is saying that he got hooked on Bigfoot during the $6 Million Man.
Oh, yeah, that classic episode.
You're probably way too young. Did you ever see those?
I saw that episode, yeah.
You did? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome, because I know normally people of your generation don't even know what that is. You know, that the graphics and the special effects are really pathetic. The old stuff.
I grew up on hair metal and 80s, you know, 80s cheesy 80 movies. So
I'm pretty
versed in all the classic stuff.
I'm an 80s teenager, that's for sure. I graduated in 1990. Ooh, that dates me. I'm so sorry. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah. So what do you think about the different kinds of Bigfoot? You know, you're listing the different names of them. And I know that sometimes they're described as having a different, somewhat different appearance and even some different behaviors. What do you think? Do you think they're the same species, or what do you think can account for, and if not, what accounts for the differences in them?
Yeah, from the sayings all around the world, usually the same similarities are footprint size and height and kind of, you know, overall body shape. But the hair color usually changes, you know, based on, you know, region and such. Whereas, you know, the Yeti is, you know, it's talked about as being brown-furred and white-furred. And which kind of comes from that, you know, the abominable snowman kind of, you know, story. And especially in pop culture, it's definitely, you know, it's displayed as being a white-furred animal. But I think they are almost the same species. I look at it more as like it's, you know, like with humans, we have, you know, there's different races of humans, whereas there's different races of Sasquatch. So that's kind of how I, you know, that's my, you know, my personal theory on these creatures. And then when you get into, like, the, you know, the reports from other places around the world where they are reporting a Bigfoot-type creature, but it's maybe 4 or 5 feet tall, then that's, like, you know, like a subspecies or a, you know, you know, a dwarf species almost, and it's, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's interesting stuff. I believe that they, you know, same species all around, they're all related somehow, you know, like we are all related somehow, and it all just goes hand in hand.
That's awesome. I know that the Dakota Indians in South Dakota talk about the Chahotinas, which are, it's spelled Canotina, but it's pronounced Chahotina. And they talk about they're the little people of the woodlands, the woodland trees, and they look like little baby Bigfoots, but they're not. They're full-grown little people. And they said that Bigfoot is usually near them, but these are not baby Bigfoots. They're little people. They're different species altogether. But they're
just hang out.
Neighbors. Huh?
They're all friends. They just hang out.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. That's kind of how the natives in general talk about those types of things, that they do hang out. and I, you know, I am part Native American, and I tend to, I like to listen to the Native stories and the traditional stories, the cultural stories, and also look at petroglyphs and as old of records as I can find. And I take it all in with a grain of salt, and then I go looking to see what I find. And it's amazing how much I find that seems to back it up,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I'm out there looking. So for me, it's a personal journey. You know, we have a team and everything, but I always tell our teammates, you know, even no matter what we find, there's all, you know, it doesn't matter what you find. It could be fantastic evidence, and people will always question it. You know, so mm-hmm. we're going to have our feelings hurt if we're letting ourselves be open to that. So I said, we really need to have the perspective of doing this for ourselves, for our own curiosities, and we share it with others. And if they can take it or leave it, and we just need not to care.
Well, that's, otherwise, you know, we're the same way. We, you know, this is, you know, we've been mistaken as like a paranormal group for pretty much since we started. You know, people, you know, think that we are, you know, we'll take commission cases and we'll come to your property and this and that. We don't. We are, and I think we kind of accidentally brought that on ourselves as calling, you know, because when we first started out, we called ourselves, you know, the Chasing Legends Crew, and we were Chasing Legends Paranormal Research, and those were just kind of names that we kind of associate with it, you know, just to kind of go with Chasing Legends. But the show is myself and my research partner, Caitlin Keeley. So it's the two of us, and it's us focusing on our research and taking our research to the next level by really getting boots on the ground in these places and actually looking for this stuff ourselves instead of reading about the stuff. You know, when we created the show and came up with the idea, we basically both told each other, you know, we need to stop reading about it, you know, reading about other people's, you know, encounters with things, and we need to go out there and try to have encounters of our own and really actually look for these things and see if we can find any truth to these legends, and, you know, see if we can, at the same time, see if we can find alternative things that people could be misinterpreting as, you know, these creatures. So we always kind of, you know, so that's what the show is about. It's following the two of us. We basically are, it's the two of us with a film crew that is documenting our entire, you know, trip as we research and investigate for these creatures and all the, you know, all around the world. And yeah, we're almost, you know, we're taking the same approach where it's, you know, these are our opinions, our findings, and, you know, people are, you know, we could have, you know, the perfect evidence, but people are still going to, you know, scrutinize it. And, you know, so like you said, you have to, you know, you have to have a thick skin with it, and you have to be open to that criticism. And we, you know, it's, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, you know, but it's like at the end of the day, like, this is, you know, this is what we found, and we're presenting it to you. Take with it what you will. We kind of, you know, we, you know, go about it with that. Cause, you know, some of the ones that are, you know, some of the cryptid legends that are on our list are pretty outlandish, and, you know, they're, you know, even with the Puka, like, we, you know, we've both had conversations like, you know, this seems like it's going to be more, you know, lore than physical, but, you know, we have to give it our 2 cents. We have to give it our time. We have to, you know, put in the attempt of really, you know, tracking the story and tracking the research and tracking the evidence and putting ourselves in this, you know, situation to potentially have an encounter or at the same time finding things that people could be misinterpreting. So I feel like I kind of repeated myself there for a second, but I didn't intend that. But yes, that's we.
It's all good.
Yeah,
that's it's all good. It's all good. Someone in the chat room is asking your opinion on the Jersey Devil and the Mothman.
Jersey Devil is on our list. It is something I very much want to look for. If the show gets picked up, I believe it's on our season one list. Could be wrong. Could be season two. I don't know. It's on the list. Mothman, we've had it on the list. We've taken it off the list. We put it back on the list. We've taken it off. I don't know. I think I might put it back on. I feel like it's been overdone. And I feel like anybody that, you know, is anybody that's gone and looked for this thing has found the same or similar evidence on what this is. Like, it's a mainstream myth that everybody knows about. But at the same time, there are still sightings, there are still, you know, recurring sightings, and there are still people that strongly believe in this thing. So, yes, we may, I do think it's something that we will put back on the list and try to make an episode out, because I would like to kind of see if I can have some of these encounters happen for myself.
Mm-hmm. And the Mothman.
Yes.
I just stopped in the area where Mothman comes from. Pleasant something.
Point Pleasant?
Point Pleasant. There you go. It was missing from my brain there for a moment. We were just there recently.
Yeah.
Nice. And I haven't been out there. It was so funny. We were coming back from Virginia. We were speaking at the Virginia Bigfoot Conference in the end of June, beginning of July. And when we were driving back, I saw an upcoming town was Point Pleasant. And I went, wait a minute, Point Pleasant, Mothman. I think that's Mothman. And I looked at him like, it is Mothman. We have to stop. So we did a quick stop and did a little thing on Mothman. So it was one of those impromptu things, like the pink elephant we found on the side of the road. The giant pink elephant. Yeah. Those are always fun. Yeah. And I do a little short video for Facebook where it starts out with, hey there, sports fans. Oh, they're just fun stuff. So, the elusive chupacabra, what do you think?
I don't know. It's like, you know, I get asked that question a lot, and I usually respond with, well, the people in Puerto Rico think, you know, seem to think so. I don't know. It's another one of those things I'm kind of on the fence about it. Obviously they had something that was going on, you know, a rash of, you know, livestock killings in the area to, you know, come up with this, but whether it's some alien being or it's just a manged coyote, who knows? There's been so many, you know, so many reports, especially out of, you know, South Texas, of all places, that, you know, seem to kind of have, that kind of seems to be where it's been focused on lately. I don't know. There's been some interesting video footage that have come out and interesting reports, so I won't discredit any of these people. And
I will say that when people send me pictures of what they think is the chupacabra, half the time, more than half the time, I'm like, you mean that dog?
Yeah, I've gotten... It's obviously
kind of a canine that they're sending me a picture of. Now, whether or not that... I don't believe that that's actually the chupacabra that people are talking about, but...
Yeah, I've gotten some things... emailed to me before too that it's come on, it's
obviously,
hey, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
I hear you. It's all right. It's all good. And, it doesn't ever hurt to ask. Put it out there and ask somebody their opinion, because you never know.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's
something that's pretty good.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you know, we, not everybody is an expert in, biology and, and not everybody knows what these animals are supposed to be. It could be, not everybody's an expert, so, believe me, not everybody is an expert. If I'm never, I'm never against, giving them my honest input, when people send me stuff, but, it's when you get those ones that are, are clearly, it's somebody just kind of out there for attention, then that's kind of when you have to, push it aside and move on.
Exactly. Very good point. And one thing I just have to say is during this interview here on the radio tonight, I got to hear you talking about how you try to debunk things, and I like that. I like that because you can't go in there thinking that every sound is a footstep if there's another possible explanation. And I'm glad that you look for that kind of thing, and so that you can rule out other possibilities or confirm that
that's
there is
really our on. Yeah, that's really our main our main thing is we like to say we don't go into these things, with the question of, is it real? We go into the, we go into with a, how can it be real? What could it be? Can it be real almost? And we go into everything, no matter what our personal, interests and personal beliefs are with this legend, we always go into everything with 100% skepticism and completely open-minded, and we, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. You can't, if someone tells you, hey, this is what happened, you can't, let that stick in your head, okay, this is what happened, that guy just told me that's what happened to him, that you have to put these things to a test, because otherwise you're not going to conduct solid research, and you're not going to get good results. You're not going to find the truth. If you just take what everyone's telling you to be true as your truth, you're not doing any justice for yourself. You have to, you have to really, dig deep and look for this stuff. And that's kind of what we've always been about. We've always been about, finding the truth and, really trying to, put a face to these legends and figuring out separating fact from fiction. And, if we've reached a point where it's like, okay, none of our tests are working, none of our theories are coming up, okay, then maybe people could be seeing, the Yeti. Maybe people could be seeing the Jersey Devil. Maybe people could be seeing these things. Maybe this is reality. Maybe these things are truly out there. And that's kind of when we do the investigations, as we, we try to come face to face with what other animals could be in the area, and hopefully coming face to face with, what people are claiming to be in the area. So it always gets fun. Yeah.
Someone in the chat room is asking if the Will-o'-the-Wisps are an Irish legend.
I do not know. I believe so. It sounds right. I think I've kind of heard that to be associated with it, but it's either Irish or Scottish. I could be wrong. Do not quote me on either of those. I think it's Irish, but yeah.
Let's just go with we're not sure.
Yes.
Look it up.
Inconclusive. Google is your friend.
Yes, Google is your friend. I always tell people, my Google search is as good as yours. When yeah, I don't exactly. know the answer, my Google search is as good as yours. So I just send them over to Google if I don't know. So let's see. Kat just posted in the chat room, another version of the tale is Willy the Wisp, related in Irish folktales by Henry Glassie. There we
Ireland.
Go. There you go. Thank you, Kat. Nice. Answer Hazy, ask again later. That's their magic eight ball going on. Nice. Chat room is active. Good job, guys. So we've got a lot coming up for you. I'm excited to see your newest episode when it finally does come out. I hope you'll send me a message to let me know it's out so I can watch it right away.
Yes.
And There's some things I'd like to tell you off the air about your Ireland trip. So remind me to do that when we're off the air. But really exciting stuff. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. Like I keep telling myself and keep telling everyone involved, like, you know, if you would have told me a few years ago we'd be gearing up to head to Ireland for a week to film, you know, our first international episode that could potentially lead to, you know, doing this full time, I would have told you you were crazy. And, you know, hard work pays off, especially when, you know, it's especially crazy how, you know, we literally went from being stagnant for 3 years. And I'm being truly honest with you. Like, I was very nervous when we went into the Devil's Punchable episode. I was like, no one's going to remember how to do anything. You know, we're all, you know, we should have had a refresher course. You know, I hope this all goes well. And everyone was on point. Everyone was, you know, 110%, and it went great. And I was very, very happy with how it turned out. It was very professional. Everyone was super professional, and it was great. I was bravo to my crew for sweating it out with me that day. It was like, I think it was like 95, 96, so with almost 100% humidity. We were soaked. I mean, it was not fun.
Maybe that's why they call it the Devil's Punch Bowl. It's really hot in there.
we make a few jokes at the beginning of the episode on its name and the temperature at the time. So, I swear to you, it was a jungle out there. It was so hot and sticky. It was, you know, and we are trying to get down, you know, we're trying to get down these, you know, rock faces. And at one point in the episode, I scale a waterfall to see if we can find our way down. And then we find that the way down was way over on the other side, and it was easy. And so, yeah, all that's in there. You're going to see all of
it. Can't wait to see it. And that music tells me we are at the end of the show. And so I'm going to invite everyone to go to YouTube and find the Chasing Legends on YouTube. And I will, of course, post the link to it on our website when this episode is uploaded on thejourneyradioshow.com. I want to thank Nash for coming on the show tonight. Everybody, Nash Hoover from Chasing Legends. And thanks, Sarge, our producer. And thank you to Para X Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.